Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Hi there, everybody. Jimmy DeYoung here, and welcome to Stand in the Gap Today. Sam, Dave, and Gary are away on ministry activities. They'll be back tomorrow. So they've asked me to fill in. I'm privileged. I'm honored to be able to do that on this very distinguished broadcast. So glad you could join us. I've got three broadcast partners that are going to come alongside with me here at this broadcast table for the purpose of discussing some very important issues. In just a moment, Shahram Hadian. He was born in Iran. He's now a pastor here in the United States. We're going to be talking about the true meaning of the phrase by the Islamic world, Allah Akbar. And we'll talk about the Muslim Brotherhood, not only in the Middle East, but here in America. And then Brandon House is going to join me. He recently had a video conference where he talked about how Christians must prepare for today. Some very important information. We'll tell you how you can watch that whole conference. We'll talk about that when Brandon comes, Mike's side. But right now, a longtime friend of mine, a journalist in the Middle East for over 35 years, I'm talking about David Dolan. He's been all over the Middle East covering the news. For example, CBS Radio, he worked for them for a number of years. But he's been an independent contractor since then, and he's my broadcast partner on my national broadcast, which is entitled Prophecy Today. It's every weekend, starting at 1 o'clock East Coast time for an hour and a half, and we always cover the waterfront as it relates to current events that may well be setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. David, I just had to have you to begin this broadcast today because of what's going on there in Lebanon as it relates to Saudi Arabia. In the last week, there has been a resignation by the Prime Minister of Lebanon, Harari. I do remember that you do know that man, and you knew his dad, too, before he was assassinated. I want you to talk about that. But in addition to that, it looks like Lebanon's declared a war against Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia declaring war against Lebanon. I mean, it's a Duke's mixture out there. Can you straighten this out? Can you give us a little understanding of what is happening right now, David?
Well, Jimmy, really, it's not so much that the country of Lebanon and the country of Saudi Arabia are doing this. It's the Sunni Muslim world, headed by Saudi Arabia, is basically decided that it's had enough of Iran and its surrogates and its allies meddling and attacking and storing arms and doing all the things they've been doing. It just so happens that Iran's main militia in the area is in Lebanon. And, of course, Hariri, when he left the country, Saad Hariri said that they were trying to kill him, that Hezbollah was after him because he's been resisting their takeover of his country. He is a Sunni Muslim like his father. I knew his late father. He was a politician that would come down to South Lebanon where I worked in the 80s and support, even though he was a Muslim, he would support the Maronite Catholics down there that were fighting against the Shiites, especially against what became Hezbollah. And this is the basis. And, Jimmy, there's other tentacles to it. Of course, we've been talking for years about it. Iran supports other militias, two Palestinian militias, but one in particular, Islamic Jihad. That's their main force in the Gaza Strip in particular. Israel destroyed a tunnel that Islamic Jihad was illegally building under the border into Israel, another one of those military tunnels where they come out with terrorists and do attacks. That happened almost 2 weeks ago, and Islamic Jihad is still vowing to revenge that. Well, the Israelis are suspicious that Iran's behind that as well, that Iran is pushing Islamic Jihad to attack Israel. And they announced in Israel yesterday that they're deploying the Iron Dome anti-rocket system in the center of the country to ward off any rockets that might be coming from Gaza. So what we're looking at, Jimmy, is a war that might involve several countries, Saudi Arabia, its allies in the Gulf area, fighting against Iran, against the Shiite forces in Lebanon, and then the Palestinians possibly getting involved, and of course Israel. very likely getting involved in the Lebanon front as well as with the Gaza Strip. Of course, that's what Sheikh Nasrallah of Hezbollah is accusing Israel of. He says Saudi Arabia has asked Israel to attack him and his forces to, you know, start a war. Well, Israel's not going to do that, but they will get into any conflict that breaks out. And right now, Jimmy, it could happen virtually at any time.
Well, now, you say it could happen at any time. Are you talking about an all-out war? I mean, that would possibly burst wide open and go across the entire Middle East because of this conflict there in Lebanon between Saudi Arabia, Lebanon, and Iran, as you've mentioned, the three players.
I think it would be an all-out conflict, Jimmy, and as I've discussed on your program several times, the Israelis do have a full plan of attack against the Iranian nuclear facilities. Those facilities are still there. They still have the centrifuges inside of them. They could be turned on any minute, and within a week they would be producing nuclear-grade material. So I think Israel would take advantage of any bust-up to go after that. Of course, that means Iran would attack Israel directly, not just through Hezbollah. Syria is a player in all this. Iraq could get involved. So, yes, a regional conflict could very well come to fruition, and the Saudis would probably ask their most important Sunni Arab ally, which is Egypt, to join in as well, of course. So they would be on Israel's side. They have a peace treaty with Israel, and it's basically a Sunni-Shiite bust-up that the Israelis would probably get involved in, meaning it would be a regional war of some size, probably.
The Sunni and the Shiites, let me remind everybody, are the two factions of the body politic of the Islamic world. And basically, Iran and all of their partners are of the Shiite persuasion. The rest of the Arab world, the Sunnis. And that's why this conflict, this sectarian violence, is so concerning. We better keep a very close eye on what is happening. I've got to ask you, Iran is really doing what they're doing, getting involved with the Lebanese and also against the Saudi Arabians, because they want that pathway from Iran all the way to the Mediterranean. This will open it up. Now, David, we've only got about a minute here. I'm going to hold you over to the next segment just for a few moments, but what about that pathway, that road, that way that they can move their military across that part of the Middle East and go after Israel?
Well, Jimmy, they basically do control that corridor now entirely. There's still a few ISIS forces in the way, in parts of the way. There's some Sunni Arabs in Iraq that might oppose anything they would do. But basically, they control Syria now. They control Lebanon through Hezbollah and a good portion of Iraq. So they have that corridor. It's very, very dangerous. The Israelis announced yesterday that they have detected Iran building a new base in Syria that's 4 miles from their border, Jimmy. So that's the situation.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation a little bit more into the next segment before we have Shahram Haidian come Mike's side with us. I want you to stay tuned when I come back, and I'm still talking with David Dolan, longtime journalist in the Middle East. I want to ask him, what effect will this have on Israel? Iran at Israel's northern border, all across the plain there with Lebanon and Syria and Iranian troops. Some 13 Iranian bases in Syria today. That's all ahead after we take a break right here on Stand in the Gap today.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. I'm filling in for the regulars, Sam, Dave, and Gary, away on ministry activities. They'll be back tomorrow. We're so glad you could join us, and to thank these guys for allowing me to co-host the program, actually host the program. I'm not co-hosting. Normally, I do join with them every other Wednesday, but today I've got it by myself. Not really, though. I have a number of outstanding broadcast partners. David Dolan is still on the line. We're going to finish our conversation with David, a longtime journalist in the Middle East. Sharam Hadian standing by. Boy, we have some very important things to talk about with Sharam. And then we'll get to Brandon House upcoming in a moment. David, let me conclude our conversation with a very key question. Is there any concern by Israel about the possibility of a war in Lebanon? And I know even during the times of Hafez al-Assad, who was the father and the leader of Syria, before his son, Bashar's side, came on the scene, he basically controlled Lebanon itself. But now with Hezbollah, a terrorist organization from Iran, sponsored and supported by them, is Israel concerned about this? They would have Iran all across their northern border, would they not?
Very much so, Jimmy. It's not only a war with Hezbollah and possibly Iran that we're talking about, but we have to remember that Russia is very strongly backing Syria and Iran. Their foreign minister was just down in Iran, and of course they support Hezbollah as well. So this could become a bigger war, and of course the United States is aware of that. I'm sure that this was discussed between President Trump and Vladimir Putin when they met in Asia recently. In fact, the president said that they talked about Syria. When he says, I'm a good friend with Putin, and that's not such a bad thing, it might prove to be the case if we do have a bust-up, Jimmy, because, again, this has the potential of going into a world conflict. And as I've mentioned before, one of Iran's closest friends in the world is North Korea. So the Israelis are looking at the possibility that this would just be an extension of something that's going on over there as well. So a truly world conflict could be brewing here, prophetically speaking, very significant. You know, Jimmy, my end-time novel from 95, I began with a Hezbollah attack upon Israel. It becomes a chemical attack. Israel responds with a nuclear strike against Damascus, and it escalates from there, and Russia does get involved. I hope that doesn't happen, certainly not at this time, but it sure is looking like the end times are upon us, and as you often say, the actors are in place, and the stage is being set for what looks like a very, very interesting and dramatic and very important time ahead.
And that end time novel that you wrote could actually become reality on the ground there in the Middle East. David, please stay on top of the story, because when you join me on Saturday on Prophecy Today Radio, we want you to be able to give us an update. By the way, you can go to my website, prophecytoday.com, and if you don't have a affiliate of our network across the nation, you can get the live streaming program at prophecytoday.com. David, I'll talk to you on the radio again on Saturday. Thank you for this very important update.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.
We're going to now go to Sharam Hadian. I met this guy about a year and a half ago. I was immediately impressed with his knowledge and his background. He was born in Iran. He and his family moved to the United States. Sharam became a Christian. He became a pastor of a church out in Washington State. He has an organization called the TIL, T-I-L, the TIL Project, and his website address, thetilproject.com. TIL, T-I-L, stands for Truth and Love. What an outstanding opportunity for me to be able to talk with him, because he has such a heart and desire to reach the Islamic world from which he came out of. But in addition to that, he's so knowledgeable of what we're talking about. Sharam, thank you so much for being available and joining us on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Dr. DeYoung. It's a blessing, as always, to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's a joy for me, and it really informs those eavesdropping on my conversations when you're with us. I want to just refer back to that terrible, horrific tragedy that took place in the church there in South Texas. where one man walked in, took automatic rifle, all types of ammunition, all types of weapons, which would, I believe, identify him as a true terrorist, and he killed half the congregation. Now, he does not claim to have any connections to Islam or the radical Islamists. And in a moment, this just reminds me of what's happening to churches and Christians across the world. I want to get to that. But indeed, one of the things that I recognize that he did not say, which would have indicated he was an Islamic terrorist, is Allah Akbar. I've been noticing every single terrorist attack, whoever the terrorist is, a suicide bomber, whoever it may be, yells that phrase, Allah Akbar. And until just recently, in fact, you told me exactly what that phrase does mean. We in the media interpret it as saying Allah is great. But that's not the whole story, is it? Can you give us the true definition of that Islamic phrase, Allah Akbar?
Absolutely, Dr. Young. This is a really important thing because it's actually being used in a very nefarious way, even among Christian churches and within the interfaith movement. Because Muslims are telling Christians and many people in the world, and of course Islamic apologists will say this all the time, Allah Akbar simply means God is great. So you say God is great as a Christian, we say God is great as a Muslim. That's so false. Allah Akbar is called the takbir. It is what Muslims are commanded to pray daily during their daily prayers, and it is a sign of supremacy because the word Akbar means the greatest. It never means great. It means the greatest, the highest. So that's the way to translate Allah Akbar, is Allah is the greatest, not just any God. It is the God of Islam that is the greatest. And so when they are shouting it, it is the goal. It is the proclamation. And during a attack, like we saw in New York, Dr. DeYoung, as many of your of the listeners will remember recently, the man getting out of the Home Depot truck was shouting Allah Akbar because he's trying to say, I am doing this because Allah is the greatest. Now, doesn't that change the whole scenario? It doesn't simply mean, oh, let's get along and we both believe God is great. No, it's a sign of supremacy.
And in fact, is it not a motivating statement that they say to really get themselves geared up to do what they think Allah is calling on them to do? I mean, that's a motivator for them, isn't it?
Absolutely, because if your goal is to show the supremacy of your God, if your goal is to show the power of your God, what they're saying in a statement of supremacy is that Allah has given us victory. As I'm, you know, if I'm in the shoes of the jihadist who's carrying out that attack, they're saying Allah has given us victory to carry out this attack. The fact that the attack is happening means that it is a sign of their victory in their mind. But this is a very important issue in the sense of it is amazing how many people, as I said, this is happening in many of these ecumenical, lukewarm churches where they're bringing Muslims in and they're teaching the Christians to say, God forbid, Dr. DeYoung, think about this. They're teaching the Christians in these churches, and I use the word Christian loosely with some of these churches, to say Allah Akbar, as if they're just saying, as we would say, praise God, praise Jesus Christ, praise Jehovah God, they think they're saying the same thing, and they're not. It is an absolute sign of supremacy to this Islamic God that is a God that is that carries an Antichrist spirit. And that's why the issue of persecution, I'm so glad you brought up the massacre in Sutherland Springs, Texas, at the Baptist Church. I am amazed at how few people, and thank you for covering this, because so few people are seeing, as Christians, that attack in Texas as an attack on Christians. It's not a domestic violence. Dr. DeYoung, that is an attack where 26 of our brothers and sisters in Christ, children, were martyred for their faith in the midst of a service, worshiping God, learning the Word of God. And we have to see it that way. And God is bringing much glory to himself through this tragedy as is happening around the world. But thank you for covering that, because very few are.
Well, you know, I have to admit that is domestic terrorism, because a terrorist is a military operative who goes after innocent people who are not armed, who are not ready to be able to defend themselves. And in fact, that is the definition, a true definition of a terrorist, goes after the weaker, softer target. So that is key. But that is not only happening, and we don't see this as an Islamic terror attack there in southern Texas, but it is a part of the modus operandi of the Islamic world, in particular across the Middle East. And we've only got about a minute before we have to go to break. We'll use you again on the next segment here. Just get into it, if you will, about the Islamic terrorists are going after Christians, burning churches, trying to get rid of Christianity in the Middle East.
Absolutely. And this is, again, in my opinion, such a topic that is not being talked about in many of our churches. We are seeing right now, as we speak, Dr. DeYoung, an absolute Christian genocide happening. According to, and I know we'll talk about this after the break, according to the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, they have been monitoring this trend over the last number of years. And from 2005 to 2017, they're estimating 900,000 Christians are being martyred over this.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 90,000 a year. This means 1.1 million.
Jerome, we need to go to break. Excuse me for breaking in. We'll go back to this subject when we come back after the break here on Stand in the Gap Today. We want you to join us. We're going to be talking about not only Christians being martyred around the world like they were in South Texas, but also the Muslim Brotherhood. They are infiltrating the United States of America. That's all ahead after the break right here on Stand in the Gap Today.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jimmy DeYoung, sitting in for Sam, Gary, and Dave for Away on Ministry Operations. By the way, I am so thrilled about this broadcast. These guys look at current events in light of a Christian worldview that comes from the Bible. And the guests that I have today with us here as I host the program seem to be doing the exact same thing. That's why we had them on the air. You need to be informed, my good friend. One way to be able to do that, to always tune in, Stand in the Gap Today on a daily basis. They have a website. You can go there. They have a weekend program. It's a marvelous ministry that the Lord has given these guys, and a privilege for me to be able to fill in when they have to be away. We are talking with Shahram Hadian. He was born in Iran, came to the United States, came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, now pastors a church, has a ministry, an itinerant ministry, and is just being so effective as he's reaching out in an effort to try to win Islamic people to Jesus Christ, but to inform the body of Christ of what is going on. Shahram, do me a favor, if you will. Conclude your thoughts there in my last question in the last segment, but leave some time because I want to talk about the threat of the Muslim Brotherhood as well. We were talking about persecution, Islamic persecution of Christians in the Middle East, destroying churches, killing Christians. Please continue your thought.
Well, thank you, Dr. DeYoung. Again, I wanted to just get back to that number because it's a staggering number, and I don't think that Christians realize what is happening. And as your last guest pointedly said, we are indeed in these last days. Again, the number that we're looking at is potentially in the last 12 years, according to the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, 1.1 million Christians martyred worldwide over that period, about a 90,000 a year average. According to Open Doors USA, the number of nations, they have a list of nations that persecute and kill Christians. Of the top 15 nations, 15, 14 of them are Islamic. The only one that is not is North Korea. So this is reality. This is not some sort of an aberration. It's not radicalism. This is the reality of an Islamic movement. As Islam grows and is uprising, we are seeing the persecution of Jews and Christians. We are seeing, obviously, ISIS directly call out the people of the cross. They're going to burn Christians alive. They're going to kill them. And two things that I want to point out, if people think this is just a terrorist issue, this is one ideological, because Islam is taught to be, within their own doctrine, that it is the final religion. So both in the Quran, Surah 9, 929, and other verses, It lists the battle that is against the people of the book, that's Jews and Christians, to either subdue them or to convert them or to kill them, fight against them. But also in the Sharia law book in section W4.0, it very clearly says Islam is the final religion. Judaism and Christianity are cults, have been made null and void. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because we know the Bible speaks of great persecution and many Christians losing their lives, even being beheaded as martyrs. And we're seeing this happen before our eyes. The sad thing is, it's just not being talked about. We have so many organizations wanting to bring in Muslim refugees and open the floodgates. Where is the talk about our brothers and sisters in Christ and potentially a genocide that we are seeing right now happening throughout the world to Christians? And that's the message I want to get across, is Christians need to wake up in America and realize they are now a target, not just spiritually, but potentially even physically, as unfortunately we saw in Texas.
But then would you say that these Islamic terrorists who want to persecute Jesus Christ, the church, and his people, are they on their way to America?
It is here. It is here now. We are seeing, and I think we're going to see a greater persecution of Christianity. Now, the Islamic movement, going to the Muslim Brotherhood, they are pros and masters at being able to use the media and the left and even liberal churches to give them the covering while they get their plans established for the sabotage of America. By the way, that is the direct language of the Muslim Brotherhood document. Called the Explanatory Memorandum, that specifically spells out their plans for this nation. It's called the Explanatory Memorandum. It was discovered by the FBI, Dr. DeYoung, in 2004 in a raid of a senior member of the Muslim Brotherhood in America. And they say that they want to, quote, and I'm quoting here now, they want to eliminate and destroy Western civilization from within and, quote, sabotaging its miserable house by their hands, that's us, and the hands of the believers, that's Muslims, so that it is eliminated and Allah's religion is made victorious over all other religions. This was their direct mission statement that has been ignored and actually purged from our national security training apparatus, our documents. So it is not a myth, it is the reality. And it's amazing how the Muslim Brotherhood uses the left, the media, the as I said, these ecumenical lukewarm churches, the Catholic churches, the Pope is all over this, to give them cover. Meanwhile, the goal is establish Sharia law, push more of the Islamic movement. And with that, what have we seen around the world? When that happens, persecution of Christians will go up. Persecution of Jews will go up. That's just fact, and it has been for 1,400 years.
Let me just remind everybody eavesdropping on this conversation. The Muslim Brotherhood headquartered in Egypt, and indeed it was the Muslim Brotherhood with Mohamed Morsi as their leader who came to power. And for a short period of time, Mohamed Morsi, the head of the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, was the president of Egypt before he was taken out by a military coup. Some of the graduates of the terrorist school in the Muslim Brotherhood would be Yasser Arafat, for example, Sheikh Yassin, the blind sheikh who established Hamas, who is a terrorist organization in the Gaza Strip there in Israel. So these are fierce, fierce fighters for the Islamic desire to set up a worldwide caliphate and rule the world. Let me ask this question, if you will, please. And to what extent you may understand the answer, how much has the Muslim Brotherhood been able to infiltrate into society, into the operation of our government here in America as of today?
Wow, that is an amazing question. And the best way that I can answer it, because we don't know the full extent totally, but it is devastating. And here's a phrase that I use. There's a, you know, we hear this phrase, the fox is in the hen house. Well, my phrase that I came up with was the fox has redecorated the hen house. That's how bad I believe the infiltration has been and unfortunately continues to be, Dr. DeYoung, under the Trump administration. There was a guy named Rich Higgins who worked in the White House. He wrote a memo outlining now how the Muslim Brotherhood in America has joined forces with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the left, the liberals, the academia, the globalists, they call this, James Simpson called this the red-green axis. And this guy wrote a memo, I have it in my hand, spelling this out, Dr. DeYoung. It got to the desk of H.R. McMaster, Trump's national security advisor, and this guy was fired from the White House, this guy Higgins, for writing this memo and escorted out. That's how deep the infiltration is. The swamp is alive and well, and the Muslim Brotherhood, Dr. DeYoung, is a part of that swamp. And it's amazing their influence, the groups like CARE and ISNA and the Muslim Student Association. I mean, we could go on for hours. And by the way, you mentioned Yasser Arafat. Most people don't know that Arafat was connected. He is blood related to the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem back in World War II, Hajj Amin al-Husseini, who was a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, who worked with the Nazis in World War II. Al-Husseini met with Heinrich Himmler, was well aware of the Final Solution, was promoting it, was on Arab radio. There was two SS Handlanger divisions, predominantly Muslim, one in Bosnia and one in North Africa. So the Muslim Brotherhood today in America, they're trying to present themselves as a benign political entity. By the way, they've gone very hyper-political in trying to get Muslims elected now to all levels of our government. But their history is still their history. They want the revival of the Islamic caliphate. They want Sharia law as the ultimate goal. And they are, as I said, in my opinion, it is the fox that's completely redecorated our hen house, and it has not yet been redecorated back, including our national security apparatus. They were allowed under Obama, under FBI Director Mueller back then, under Holder, to go in and purge all of our national security training materials that dealt with Islamic terrorism. That's why you can't say Islamic terrorism, because it's not in the language of the FBI, of Homeland Security, DOD, on and on.
Wow. Well, you were talking about Yasser Arafat. As a journalist living in Jerusalem a couple of years ago before he died, I had an opportunity to be in Jericho to meet with Yasser Arafat and also King Hussein, late king of Jordan at that point in time. Yasser Arafat, I just looked at him, and I'm not some type of a mystic, but I could see the devil energizing that man, and he's just one example of the Muslim Brotherhood, which Sharam Hadian has been telling us we better be paying attention. They're trying to take over the United States of America. Let me remind you, you can get a hold of Sharam Hadian by going to his website, and that website address, thetilproject.com. That's TILproject.com. Truth and Love, a great theme for this dear brother. Sharam Hadian, thank you so very much, my good friend. Valuable information. We'll talk to you again on the radio sometime real soon.
Thank you, Dr. DeYoung. A blessing as always.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I have one more guest on the program today, Stand in the Gap today. Brandon House is standing by. We're going to be talking to him about a recent video conference he had. It was amazing how he was endeavoring to exhort the Christians. You must be prepared. Our conversations indicate that. It's all ahead right here on Stand in the Gap today.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information as Stand in the Gap today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Thank you so very much, sir. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. I'm hosting the broadcast today because Sam, Dave, and Gary are away on ministry activities. They will be back tomorrow. You want to make sure you join them. They'll have frontline information for you, cutting edge, that will give you the insights into what's happening in our world. And, of course, they'll then go into it from a biblical and constitutional perspective. You don't want to miss the broadcast. Sam, Gary, and Dave will be back tomorrow here on Stand in the Gap Today. Right now, as I've already mentioned, we're going to bring a longtime friend of mine, Brandon House, to these microphones. Normally on Friday, every Friday on his national and international broadcast, he brings me on to give a Middle East news update. I'm kind of changing seats with him today. And Brandon, I'm not going to be just to you because I've only got about 8 minutes, so please forgive me. I'll try to keep you on longer next time. Brandon has an organization called Worldview Weekend with radio, television, conferences. I mean, so much I can't even keep up with it himself. And when I was thinking about who would I bring on the broadcast, Brandon recently had a video conference that was headquartered in Memphis, Tennessee, a number of guests on there. They went for 2 days, Friday and Saturday. And Brandon, just for those eavesdropping, give them a summary of what you talked about. And I want to leave some time to make sure that we can tell them how they can watch that entire conference even now. But give us a summary of what you dealt with during that video conference.
Thank you, Dr. DeYoung, for having me on. We talked about understanding and preparing for the internal and external national security threat. We had five speakers, former FBI counterterrorism expert John Guandolo, Chris Gobbets, who infiltrated CARE undercover for 6 months, grew the Sharia beard, and infiltrated CARE, Council on American Islamic Relations. It's a front group for Muslim Brotherhood, which is tied to the terrorist organization Hamas. That's the basis of the bestseller, Muslim Mafia. He was on with Sean Hannity just the day before he was in our TV studio for 2 days. In fact, right now on our website at WVWTV.com, we have an exclusive one-hour interview with him that people can watch at WVWTV.com. We also had a commander in the United States Navy, Jason Pratt, as well as Clint Clemens. Both of those last two gentlemen did several presentations on how to survive an active shooter situation, and they specifically went into what to do if you're in a mall, or particularly Clint went into great detail on what to do if you're in a church. Sadly, less than 24 hours after our conference concluded, we had the largest mass murder in a church in American history. We also discussed some of the other threats facing the country. Venezuela, many people are not aware of this. We have been tracking this for several years, but August 13th, 2017, the CIA director, Mike Pompeo, came out on Fox News and admitted what we have been reporting for some time, in part, which is that Russia, Cuba, Iran, and Hezbollah are very active in Venezuela. We've been reporting for several years that Venezuela has built an intercontinental ballistic missile system in northern Venezuela, in Caracas. And, of course, Miami is only 1,364 miles away as the crow flies. This is setting up for a possible missile crisis, Cuban missile crisis, but this time in Venezuela. Even the Jerusalem Post has reported that Iran has built a rocket base in Venezuela. Then we went into the 5,000 Russian surface-to-air manpad missiles that Venezuela has that they've gotten from Russia. Great concern about that and some of those reaching into the U.S. now and putting airliners at risk. Then, of course, we have the biological chemicals that the Belfer Center has put out a report that North Korea wants to put out anthrax and smallpox, that they could even distribute these biological weapons through janitorial crews or people posing as some kind of service guys with sprayers. And, of course, you're talking about two bottles the size of wine bottles in a major city of anthrax could kill 50% of the population. We then went into the EMP threat, the electromagnetic pulse threat from North Korea. That is rising as Congress has just canceled and terminated the EMP commission for Congress. Many people today, Dr. Peter Pry and others, calling for an executive order by Trump to establish that commission inside the White House. Then we have the NSA tool that has been stolen. We have Stuxnet virus that was written by America, Silicon Valley, and Israel to infiltrate the Iranian nuclear program. Both the NSA tool and Stuxnet are now out on the internet for hackers to get. Now we have hackers who, for the first time, have actually penetrated the power grids. We're all the way inside. Not foreign states. We know foreign states are doing this, but individual hackers. Antifa-type groups, communist groups, they're getting very brazen and very advanced. So we have so many threats, it's almost impossible to keep up with them. But we're trying to tell people what to do and how to prepare, including mosques that are loaded with weapons, according to numerous reports. France has found this out. They've closed down between 100 and 160 mosques, finding military-grade weapons. America is behind the curve. The internal and external threats are overwhelming. And sadly, most Christians aren't prepared. And when we try to tell people about it, Dr. DeYoung, some of the people that mock us the most are so-called Bible conservative Christians, who seem to be leaning too heavily on the sovereignty of God, which we believe in the sovereignty of God, God's total rule, but we also believe in the biblical model of man's responsibility. They're both true, and we need to be involved in doing something. And sadly, most Christians are a day late, a dollar short, and got their head in the sand and have no clue what's going on.
Well, in fact, I think this is such a power-packed video conference that you had. I just would encourage Christians to go to it. I was going to ask you what you Christians do. I think the better thing for me to do is ask you how a Christian who's listening to our conversation could really actually get involved in watching the entire conference. Is there a way that they can do that?
Well, they can. Thank you for asking. They can watch parts of it right now for free at Worldview Tube. Worldview Tube, that's Worldview and then TUBE.com. We have excerpts of five of the 10 presentations up there, more coming. We have five of the 10 presentations now post-edited in HD, and they can watch them inside our Situation Room at situationroom.net. We also do a live streaming event every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time that they can watch. And this Sunday night is Phil Haney, who was a Department of Homeland Security official who was fired, limited from doing his job. He was actually doing his job in tracking down Islamic terrorists. If they let him continue doing his job, he could have probably prevented the San Bernardino attack. So he'll be my guest at 8 p.m. Sunday night inside the Situation Room live streaming. So we're just constantly doing things to awaken the American people, to get their local communities prepared, their state communities prepared. The federal government's dropping the ball, but maybe you can get your local communities to get ready, but also your family. Because government and former government officials are saying any major crisis in the country and the cavalry, meaning the government, is not going to come to your aid. They're swamped. New York only has enough food, New York, for 3 days. So what are they going to do with millions of people after 3 days if there's a major crisis with our just-in-time inventory? So families have, in fact, the head of FEMA came out recently in front of the White House and said we need a culture of preparedness.
and he was very, very frustrated on a CBS interview where he said he cannot figure out why the American people will not be independent and prepare themselves instead of waiting around for the government. He said we need a culture of preparedness.
Brandon, let me interrupt you here for a second. My time is running out. I've got to have you one more time mention how these people listening to us could get to that information and watch it. Real quick.
Yes, thank you. Lots of free information at worldviewtube.com. Some of those clips, worldviewtube.com, where you can watch them there for free.
Brandon House, a very active minister of the Word of God, but also at the same time alerting the world to the possibility of danger ahead. Brandon, thank you so much. I'll see you on the radio on Friday afternoon.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break and go home, and we're going to wait 23 hours before we come back on the air again when Sam, Dave, and Gary will be here on the program called Stand in the Gap Today. We'll talk to you then.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.